Proverbs' purpose is to get through to us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That's the great triumvirate. That's the tripod on which life hangs. So says the sage, so says Solomon. Solomon is a speaker of 3,000 proverbs. If you count the verses of the book of Proverbs, there are 915. That's not to say there are 915 proverbs, because how do you count a proverb? Sometimes the proverb runs over two verses, one verse, four verses, sometimes even longer. He is a song composer. He wrote 1,000 songs. He is a chosen instrument by God, one of the sages, one of the wise men, to get through to the nation of Israel and ultimately to us that life is meant to be lived with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That is to say, it's a life that's to be lived in the fear of God, which is to say, it's a life to be lived in the worship of God. And Solomon has this opportunity to ask from God whatever he wishes. He chooses wisdom, which is a choice that is offered to each one of us. Would we choose to live life connected to God, receiving from him? One of my operational definitions for wisdom is wisdom is agreeing or affirming, agreeing that God has the right to decide what's right. That to me is the first step in fearing the Lord. Wisdom is agreeing that God has the right as the creator of the universe. Blessed be by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the cloud let drop the dew. Listen, God made this planet with the wisdom and the understanding and knowledge of him. And we as his creatures, if we are to live with reality, ultimate reality, then we too must live by that wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And the first step to that, operationally, just functionally, I think, is to agree, is to affirm. You know what? God is the creator of this place. His word sustains this place. He stops talking, whoop, everything drops. It's like a pop balloon. And no wonder the psalmist says, day unto day, the heavens just speak forth. Just speak forth. Well, you know why? Because God is always talking. If God stops talking, the heavens fall. They're sustained by his word. And so this beginning step, God, you have the right as the creator God to decide what's right. And so Solomon says, God, you tell me right from wrong. Help me to see the difference between right and wrong so I can judge this people of yours. Where Solomon messed up, I think, is the second part of that tripod. Wisdom, understanding. And that is, operationally, he did not stand under the decisions that God made about Solomon, this is right, Solomon, this is wrong. He didn't stand under that with obedience. Instead, he experimented. Let's see what it's like to live with 1,000 women. Wow is right. Wow. How he ever got the Proverbs down, I don't know. 3,000 Proverbs, three for each one probably. I learned this one, this one, and this one, this one, and this one, this one. I don't know. They probably all wanted to be sung to, so that gets the 1,000 songs out there. So wisdom, I agree. God has the right to decide what's right. It's the first step in fearing God. Understand, I stand under those decisions with obedience. And then do you know what happens? It's like planting a seed and then watering it. Vroom, vroom. Out of that blossoms knowledge. And operationally for me, that means insights in how to do life. The Bible doesn't say who to marry. The Bible doesn't say what color the walls should be in the kitchen. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't. But knowledge blossoms when wisdom and understanding are in place. And now we have practical insights into how should we live this life. My son starts out Proverbs 3 with 6 directives. They're in the odd verses. And in the even verses, 6 rewards, 6 promises. Let me fix that word. One of the things the Proverbs are not is they are not promises. They are not guarantees. They are not warranties. Proverbs are not that. Sometimes, if that's your first hearing of that, you go, ooh, does this guy really believe the Word of God is the Word of God? If that's your first time here, you might have that result. But what Proverbs are divine, yes, from the heart of God. But they are principles. They are practices. They're guidelines. They're not guarantees. And so here we are. We've got six things that Solomon says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they'll prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you win favor in the sight. You win favor in a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. And your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord loves those he disciplines, as a father the son he delights in. And then issues this praise out to the virtue and value of wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Thank you. It's my line giver. For she is more profitable than silver and yields, get this, and yields better returns than gold. Watched the commercial last night, late night. The gold store is called Gubby's. I would change the name right away. It's somewhere on 8 Mile. Anybody know it? Gubby's, G-U-B-B-Y-S, Gubby's. And this guy, he's got this big pile of, you know, earrings and chain link and he's got gold, you know. And then they show this little lady at the counter, and the guy behind the counter is forking over $20 bills. I mean, faster than she can get them in her hand. And I just thought, wow. See, wisdom gives better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honors. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who embrace her, those who take hold of her. We'll be blessed. What's that next line? Oh, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps are divided and the clouds let drop the dew. If you're wondering how this is in my head, for 18 years I taught the book of Proverbs at Southfield Christian School to freshmen. And I taught them, they memorized Proverbs 3. And in an effort to get it in my head, I would put myself to sleep saying Proverbs 3. Now, my difficulty is, as I get older, and I've been saying it to myself now for 18 years, is by the time I get the verse, I think like 9, I am dead asleep. So I need a little line giver to help me with them. Yes, you're right. So, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They'll be an ornament. They'll be an ornament to your... It will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence. He'll keep your foot from being snared. Now come all these do-nots. There are 5 do nots. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it's in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow. when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. I made every freshman memorize that verse. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. I did that because it kept my house from being teepeed. I live trustfully near you. I could commute from Wisconsin, but I don't. I live right down the road. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he's done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. For the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. Thank you, Father. Now, what I'd like to talk about is just Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. I'm calling it soul health. I'm sure most of you know there's a service before this one whereby we share together what's called the Lord's table. Some call it the Eucharist. Some call it communion. And we break bread together. And by that, we mean we take from Jesus' hands the bread and the cup, the bread representing the body of Jesus broken, and the cup represents blood shed. We share that. That's what Jesus asked us to do, because central to wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, central to fearing God, central to moving from the fear of God to the worship of God, is understanding the good news, the what the King James calls the glad tidings. Wow. God offers. Jesus crucified is called the wisdom of God. That grace lavished on us that was in the first service, if you kept reading that, it says that was the wisdom of God. That's what God does for us. So on this, to even talk about health just sends me. I was saying to Allison this morning, I am walking this way of age, you know. And I just, it's like I uncover something new every morning. Wow, that doesn't work either. And it's just like, I just to bound out of bed and be reckless almost. And now I have to like just, when I get up, well, you all know, I just make sure, are my feet under me, you know? Am I, in fact, standing up, you know? I had skin cancer. It was a serious event in my life. And therefore, I got to go to the dermatologist. I hate going. I hate it for a lot of reasons. One is it reminds me of the whole episode. And I lost a 2x4-inch chunk of my face. I lost a piece of my lip. I don't have feeling here. I have to really work at talking, enunciating. So I go back, and she finds stuff all the time. It's all, well, there's something we got to take. Well, there's something we got to take. Well, I was in there right before Christmas. And she's all in the back there, and she goes, wisdom spot. I went, excuse me? It's a wisdom spot. So what do you mean a wisdom spot? She said, well, that's our kind way of saying it just comes with age. Yeah. You know what? I wish that wisdom came with age. I do. But it doesn't. It doesn't. You can be an old person and be stupid. You can be an old person and be cranky. You can be an old person and just be reckless in your character and your choices. You know, we got witnesses all around. And you can listen to a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old whose heart is fully tuned with God, just open. I watched live stream, I think 3 or 4, Ann and I did this week, of Passion 2013, Atlanta, Georgia. 60,000+ people, ages 18 to 25, giving their hearts away to Jesus. And as they've experienced freedom in Jesus, they're using that freedom for others' freedom. And they're drawing the light on 27 million people who are being trafficked in slavery. They're starting a four-month campaign. It's got a big red swatch X in it to end it. The campaign is called End It. February 1st, there's going to be a USA Today full-page advertising. I'm in it to end it. And they're just drawing awareness for 4 months on that. They're using their freedom for freedom. I'm going, 18? I was probably working on my complexion and wondering, will anybody ever love me? And what? I wish wisdom came with age, but it does. It does come with a regular bowing before God. You have the right to decide what's right. I'm going to stand under those decisions with obedience, and God blossom in me the insights I need to live my life in a way that gives the breath you gave to me back to you. I heard Louis Giglio say, worship is the pneuma, the ruah in the Old Testament, the breath of God making you alive, and worship, giving it back. Wow. So I say all that about health because if you're like, you get all, I originally called this a physical for my soul, and I changed it because I didn't want you to freak out. And the soul is deep in, too. And so that's hard. A lot of our motives come from our soul, so it's not always apparent why we do what we do. That's soul stuff. So it's deep. So anyway, I'm offering this. What makes the soul well? So here's a weight check. Do not be wise, is your blank. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And my question here is, am I quick, Q-U-I-C-K, am I quick, slow, or slow, quick? You know this, many of you, this phrase in James 1:19. James, the brother of Jesus, says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to... I wonder if that characterizes your words. Here is a weight check on your soul, where your soul is resting. Would one of the people who knows you best say, boy, if one thing I can say about him or her is they are quick to listen. I feel fully heard. And they are slow to give their opinion. They are slow to just like, yeah, here's what you got to do to fix it. How come we're still talking about this? Blah, blah, blah. And they are slow to anger. Is that true? That's the mark of someone who's not wise in their own eyes. They are slow. What, other way around. They are, how does it go? Quick, thank you, quick. Thank you. That. Or the other way. So my wife says to me, you are driving me crazy. And I say, frankly, honey, you've reached that destination long ago. We are no longer driving there. I'm not sure how you got there. I was not at the wheel, though, when we arrived, but you're there. Okay, now, that is not being quick to listen. What would be quick to listen, and really, and you got to choose these moments. This would not be a moment, like, after she just got done saying to me, you are driving me crazy. I hate to recycle. I just hate it. There's a part of me that thinks the whole thing is a con. It's extra steps. It's extra work. It's extra work for the guy at the curb. And so I'm always pitching stuff that should be recycled. Drives her crazy. Drives her crazy. She is the poster child of recycling. So I'm always pitching stuff. And the hard part is she goes to the trash. What are you doing going through the trash? I threw it away. I know. It shouldn't be recycled. All right. Now, so let's say we're in that moment. Now, as I step away from that moment later on, not now, but in another time, here's what quick to listen would be. If I would say to her, honey, what drives you crazy about me? What drives you crazy about me? I'll tell you what drives you crazy. That you don't recycle. I just feel like it's not part of being a good steward. And That's why it's important to you? Mm-hmm. It is. Okay. Now that is taking a step towards not being wise in your own eyes. Just ask the question, not in the moment where you're being declared crazy, but, or she's declaring crazy, but away from that moment to say, what, would you have the courage to do that? What drives you crazy about me? Here's the second one. This is a blood pressure check. Fear the Lord. We know that Amazing Grace song. We sang it. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears, plural, relieved. And it's this yielding to God, this in your stress. I sometimes call it blood pressure because I'm saying, whose blood here? Whose blood here do you want to lean on? Whose blood is going to be spilled here? Let's listen to this DVD. The lyrics to this music are on the back of your... Hit the peacemaker, there you go. Just click one, there you go.
Peacemaker, fear taker, soul soother, storm smoother, light shiner, lost finder, cloud lifter, deliverer, heart toucher. Truth lover, who other could be? Fear taker, peacemaker to me. Mind clearer, sigh hearer, hand holder, consoler. Touch her.
Thank you. I actually added some words to that. I added word keeper, life breather, debt payer, sin slayer, freedom fighter, burdens lighter. And I was in the middle of adding something. I couldn't find something rhyme with rescuer. Somebody shared this morning. A wonderful book, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing by Sally Lloyd-Jones. And talked about Jesus as rescuer, but I couldn't think of what would rhyme with rescuer. Which leads me to that point, as fearing the Lord, is who other could be? Where else are you going to go? You reach the end of your days. I was saying to Alice this morning, I heard a guy say, you know, you reach the end of your days, the majority of human beings will be seeking a way to make peace with God. That's what they'll do. How can I make peace with God now in the face of death? What will I do? And this guy's counsel was, look, if you're going to do it at the end of your life, why not do it in the middle of your life? I'd say, why not do it in the beginning of your life? Why? Because you get the experience of all of this. You get to experience Jesus. You get to experience life from Jesus' hand as he blows out on you. And there is a joy to that I can't put words to. There are sometimes I got a heart of stone. But I can actually come to moments. My wife cries at them. Drives us crazy. how might it be different? Well, let's at least be quick to listen. Honey, why are you crying? but there are moments that it overwhelms me. Now, the way I'm wired, I can't ride on that all the time. Some people can. But I have enough of those moments to be absolutely convinced of the love of God for Phil Ackley in Jesus Christ. I got it. I'm absolutely convinced. And so now these choices of God, you have the right to decide what's right. Help me to stand under those decisions with obedience. And then would you spring out, would you grow in me, whatever it is that would bring insight and help to what I need, to what my wife needs, to what my family needs, to what my school needs, to what Dunning Park needs, to whatever the needs are in my neighborhood, so on and so on and so on. Who other? Who other could be? My sister Louise, who has adopted 5 special needs kids, whose husband at age 51 died of Alzheimer's. We can't even process that. And she says to me, Phil, when God is near, you lose the fear. When God is near, you lose the fear. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for me. I don't even know what this afternoon's going to bring for me. But when God is near, the kids memorize Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. It's a big time message. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And then there's just these little words after that. Anybody know what they are? It says, the Lord is near. Then comes, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because we rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true and noble and right. And so, here's what you should think. What am I going to put instead of those anxious thoughts? Our minds have to think about something. I will rejoice that God gave his life for me and continues to breathe on me through his gracious spirit the stuff I need for the life he's given me to lead. A little blood pressure check. I want his blood. Now, this is just how obsessive I am. There are 21 needs written here. I put a couple more when I added. There are 21. I describe this song as Jesus meets 21 of my needs right here. There isn't one need on this thing that it's in me. I got it. And probably be more. But the promise of God, the promise of God is that in Jesus, he will provide. And he'll guard my heart and my mind. And then finally, a vision check. And it says, and shun evil is the NIV. Here I'm using New American Standard, and turn away from evil, because I think it captures this turning away. And my question is, as a way of capturing this, is, now I'm going to say it both ways. What am I giving my back to, B-A-C-K? What am I giving my back to? What sees my back? And then the other way, what am I giving my face to? What am I giving my back to? What am I giving my face to? That will help you with and turn away from evil. So I'm in the store, and this commercial comes on. It is so stinking racy. And I'm at Costco. It's playing. And I just found myself giving my back to it. I'm not going to give that my face. Turn away. Now, look, some people can look at that and they hum right by. Wow, that's a 48-inch. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, my 48-inch. Look at that. No, I got to give my back to that. And one of the things we ought to know about ourselves is what your hooks are. What is the first layer of that Velcro strip? What is, when you lay your life down, you know, that's one part of the Velcro strip. What are the hooks? So you know, that's not going to stick. Piece of rubber is not going to stick on that. I'm all right. You know? What are your hooks? And what are your hurts? Because if you know your hooks and your hurts, another way to say that is what your genes are, kind of, you know, generationally, what's in you, what your genes are, and then what your germs are. Not everybody gets a cold. Everybody doesn't. Not everybody gets a disease. Some people have immunizations differently. But I would say I know certain things are dangerous to me. They're dangerous to me. And it doesn't matter how prayed up I am, how read up I am, how loved up I am. It doesn't matter. If I go that way, I know it's destruction. And soul health, the joy of confidence, of growing faith in Jesus as my Savior, says, look, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. What do you give your back to? What do you give your face to? Then I'll finish with this, that the health of my soul does not depend on the health of my body. But on the health of my Savior, Jesus. And Jesus, Jesus is alive forevermore. Jesus is alive forevermore. We have a practice at Genesis where I fellowship, and I just want to take a few moments to do this with you. This might be a little different. It's going to take 2 minutes. We stop at the end of a teaching, which we've just had right now, and it may be that God has said something to you entirely different than the words that you've heard from me. Praise God. But I'd like to take 2 minutes, and would you just quiet yourself, and it might help you if you made some notes to yourself to look over those again or whatever. But in 2 minutes, I would like you just to ask God, Father God, what would you like to say to me? What would you like to say to me? We're going to wait 2 minutes. It'll seem like forever. And then I'll pray. It may be that during that time, nothing, no impressions, nothing said. So be it. But there may be something. God is a God who always speaks. There may be something that is, well, you know what? This is something I got to. Thank you, Father God. Give me grace to do what you're telling me to do. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. God, what might you say to us now in these moments? Would you speak to us, Holy Spirit, as you will? Father, you are word keeper and life breather, debt payer and sin slayer. You're a freedom fighter and burdens lighter. Let your peace rule in my heart. Let your kindness fill my thoughts. Let your strength secure my soul. Let your peace take hold in me. Let your wisdom guide my will. Your compassion fill this place. Let my anxious thoughts be still. Let your peace rule in my heart. I need you. I need you in my life. Lord, I trust you. I believe you. I need you in my life. You know that, and I know that. Lord Jesus, we love you. We bless you for bringing us back to your Father. And would you just, from your good hand, would you help us not be wise in our own eyes and to fear the Lord and to turn away from evil? We need rescuing all along the way here. Provide the grace we need, and we'll give thanks for it, for Jesus' sake.